This is Fed Up, the podcast by Falcon Nutrition, and I'm your host, Jason Falcon. This podcast will feature coaches, current and former clients, industry colleagues and peers, as well as a handful of others that we feel will bring value to your life as you continue on your nutrition journey. Enjoy, thank you for listening, and let's have some fun. All right, welcome back to another episode of Fed Up, the Falcon Nutrition podcast. Today, I have Simon Hyun on with me. Simon is a personal trainer from Chicago, and sort of like last episode where I had Esther on here, very similar dynamic in our relationship. We've been online friends for quite a long time. We have never really spoken much one-on-one. So anyone listening when this rolls out is going to hear us pretty much getting to know each other live. Hey, Simon.
Hey, man. How you doing? Hey. I'm so honored to be on your podcast. Thank you.
Dude, I'm just a regular... But thank you. Like, I'm excited to talk to you, man. Like, there's a lot of people that get very famous online and they're not doing anything any different or saying anything any differently than like people like you or me. So when I have someone that I respect and value the stuff they put out, I'm like, hey, I made a podcast. I can invite him on here and give him, it's not a very big platform, but it's just a different audience, different platform. So it's cool when you have your own podcast because you can just talk to who you want to talk to and feature people that you feel like should be more popular. And so you're that guy today.
No, thank you. If I can get one or two Russian or Chinese bots out of this, I'd be very, very happy.
that's most of my Instagram inbox these days. I don't understand.
I know, me too. I'm inundated. So this is, again, thank you for having me on. You're doing so much good work in the nutrition and fitness industry, and I'm privileged to be on here and can't wait to share a few hours with you.
Well, likewise, you are doing some really, really cool stuff. I don't really want to give like your bio or background. I'd rather you tell me and tell whoever's listening, hey, mom, like about yourself. How would your bio, your background, whatever you want to bring people up to speed with? Who is Simon?
No, absolutely. I'm a personal trainer and coach. I was born and raised in Chicago. I was schooled out east in Boston. I've been a personal trainer for about 12 years. I've been interested in training or been in fitness for about 20 years. Before personal training, I was in the corporate industry. I worked at, big five firms in terms of accounting. I worked at some big tech firms. And then in my 30s, I made the transition to personal training after kind of coming to a crossroads in my life where I really wanted to help people and help people develop their latent talent as far as fitness, as far as nutrition, as far as their well-being. So that led me to be a personal trainer. And for the last 12 years, I've been working as a trainer. And for about 8 years, maybe 7 years, I've been working for myself. So
cool. Cool. And I think that's why a lot of the stuff you share kind of resonates with me, because your average client seems to be my average client, but you're helping them in person in the gym with their fitness. And I'm helping these types of people. My team and I are helping these types of people online with their nutrition. But I was really curious. One, I wanted to meet you. Two, we were going to be each other's captive audience for half hour, an hour. But I just wanted to see if there are as many similarities as I kind of thought. It's super cool, your story, because we have a similar story. I spent almost a decade in corporate America. I felt my soul leaving my body more and more and more. And it was just totally unfulfilling. And then my own journey, like I'm probably sort of like you, a lot of the things that were most meaningful to me, I was not doing any semblance of them like on a professional level. So it was cool to be able to make the switch.
Sure.
And I would venture a guess that your skills from that, prior life, right? That prior career probably help you immensely now, because what I see, especially a lot of people hit me up and will ask me questions that are new to the industry. And they love the gym or they love the nutrition side, but like their people skills are not necessarily great.
I that's a pretty common denominator, right? With a lot of people in the fitness industry. And that's not a poke at them at all. I think it's kind of like a self-selecting group, the people who are isolated, the people who are self-aware, self-focused are going to see sometimes the best results in the gym, right?
Yep.
Because they're able to hone in, but oftentimes that cuts out other people along the way. So they don't get to develop those other kinds of talents that they may have. So,
well, and it's difficult because like most things, especially what we do, it's not about how much you know, it's about how effectively you can sort of like communicate to others what it is that you know in a way that they make, you know, that makes sense to them and that they can implement. So you can be super, super, super smart, but if your people skills aren't like there, it can be very difficult to actually make a living. And I think that's online or nutrition. Your interesting perspective, because you do both, you're a hybrid. Everything I do is like, I coach at F45 a couple mornings. But that's, you know, that's not me trying to find clients. That's me just going and having fun training people in person with what you do. I'm sure you see it a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I had no idea that you were a coach at F45 until this morning.
I saw the video,
I'm like, yeah.
Man, it's so much fun because I sit behind a screen all day. I was already going. I was working out there at 6 a.m. every morning of the week. They opened about a month ago. They sort of had like their soft opening. Their grand opening was 2 weeks ago. And they've basically been posting, like, need coaches, anyone certified in personal training or small group. And both of the owners, like my age, like mid 30s, both super cool guys. I love the brand. I can't believe it took it as long as it has to show up in Virginia Beach. I'm really rooting for the gym to succeed because it's owned by two like really awesome individuals.
Sure.
I get to know all the coaches there. The coaches are amazing. Essentially they needed like some manpower. And I was like, one, it gets me. So it kind of for selfish reasons, I've been trying to get better at public speaking.
Okay.
Easy way to get better at public speaking, go demonstrate how to do something to a group full of people.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning when you're not half asleep, but they are, you have a captive audience. So one, I get out from behind the screen. Two, I get to practice my public speaking and it just flies by, man. It's so much fun. So I get a free membership out of the deal, a few bucks or whatever, but really it was the personal interaction again, which is like fun. You miss being behind the screen all day long.
That's so awesome, man. I think it's a great way to develop, obviously, like you mentioned before, a public speaking skills, and it's probably also make you a better coach as well, because you have firsthand experience as to, like, you know, you can actually look at people's emotions right in front of you.
Yeah.
You see how what you say, how they respond to that, and I think that goes so much further online when you have those tools already with you. So I think that's great. That's awesome that you're there.
It's a lot of fun. And so when you mentioned you work for yourself, do you rent out space in the gym, or like what is your setup?
Yes, sir. I rent out space in Chicago. I pay like a monthly rent. It's a shared space with other coaches.
Cool.
But it's just it allows me to train unlimited. A lot of my clients are within about a mile and a half of the location.
Yep.
So there's parking, so it's super easy to work there. Yeah.
So we really have no set flow to this thing, but something that is really interesting to me, if you see any of my stuff, is you see me posting about steps all of the time.
Yeah.
And all of, like, you see my walking treadmill behind me over my shoulder
because
I had to move it. How many steps do you average a day walking around Chicago?
Probably 25 to 30,000 a day.
And what does that look like? How far do you live from your gym? How much are you moving within a shift?
I live about 6 minutes away from my gym, like walking. But I have like a husky shepherd who's like manic, who needs to move.
Yep.
And if she doesn't get like 3 miles a day at least, she's like flipping out, and she needs about two. She needs 2 hours of exercise where she's listening to me, doing commands, like working.
Yeah.
Or she's a miserable dog. So with that combined with like personal training,
I get
so much. So I'm not recommending that as like a bar or it being impressive. Well, I think it's impressive that I'm still alive. I'm not like dying, but it's, it's not something I recommend, but it's just the way my career goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my responsibilities.
To me, it's super impressive. Like when Dean and I did our walking episode, we talked about step counts and the various ranges at which like good things start to happen and then even better things start to happen. And we started talking about like our cliffs, like over this number, and it just, everything feels terrible. For me, that number is 25,000. I can hit it once, you know, weekend days for me sometimes, well, regularly are there. But if I did like 3 or 4 25,000 step days in a row and I'm not being intentional with my diet and sleep to support it, like I'm going to feel worn out. But yeah, that's just a day in the life for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also like, you know, you, it's kind of, that's the first thing people see though, but then you layer on top that you have, you know, 2 kids and a wife and a job. And there's a reason why you're miserable, right? It's because you're inundated with other kinds of responsibilities and like things coming in at you. So I'm a single guy in Chicago, so it's not the same, but I appreciate it though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, so do I. I mean, I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you've slowly conditioned yourself to what your day-to-day life is now. If you took you from 10 years ago and just plug you in to today, it might feel overwhelming, but because you gradually took on more and more and more or whatever.
Yeah. You know? For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing we mentioned kind of diving into is, and we've not spoken, so depending on your answers, we'll either have a lot of to talk about or a little to talk about, but how would you describe like the average person you work with? And I know it's an impossible question, but just on average.
No, it's a really good question. I made it like, so what I did was I took a few like dots or a few pieces of paper, or every year I write down like who my ideal client is, and it's usually the same. The average person I work with is between the ages of 35 and about 60. They're in the Lincoln Park area of Chicago, which is a kind of a pretty like affluent area of Chicago. There's lots of like private schools for kids there, you know, and the cost of school is like the cost of like college tuition. Very high. Yeah, it's expensive. A lot of them, I would say, are kind of, I hate to use the word, but, you know, kind of, I think, not like.
Use the word. Let's hear it.
I don't know. Like, no, not like alpha, if that makes sense.
Yeah. High achievers.
High achievers. Absolutely. A lot of women, a lot of men, a lot of highly educated people, Ivy League, top 10, top 20 school. A lot of them, you know, 2.5 kids, lawyers, doctors, people that wake up at 3:30 in the morning to start their day, entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that, you know, you realize how hard they actually work, 60 to 80 hours a week. They come from strong Midwestern families, a lot of down to earth people, a lot of people that are always looking for the next thing to do and to, you know, so. Yeah, I've worked with pretty intense people, I think. And what people don't realize, actually, who don't live that lifestyle, is that a lot of these people are also really generous with their time and their resources. Yeah. And, you know, they have excellent communication skills. They're intense, but they're also like constantly, you know, when you walk into the, you know, training session, they want to share the conversation with you, right? Mm-hmm. And everything they talk about is about you. And about them, not just, you know, about themselves. Yeah. So you can see that, you know, unbeknownst to them, they have a really high communication skill set, I think.
Yeah. 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 So probably a lot of that is probably very similar. How would you describe like their physical state of fitness or readiness or well-being or whatever word you want to use? Are these high achievers that are literally high achievers in everything across the board, or is it usually everything other than this one thing that they're hiring you to help them with?
That's a good question. I'm kind of like in a weird spot because 85% of my clients have been with me for about 12 years.
That's amazing. So that says it all.
Well, maybe either that or they're too lazy to find somebody better. So either way, which I'm banking on. I think like you can see it, but it's kind of like that subconscious that needs to be unleashed. Meaning like unbeknownst, like when you first look at them, you're like, you know, everything is cool, but then you just need to crack it a little bit and their competitive streak comes out, right? Mm-hmm. They have that latent talent inside of them where they want to like, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, the initial client is 20 pounds overweight or in great shape, you see the need to excel and to improve themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the strongest clients I get are the ones that, you know, the new ones are typically the ones that come from referral. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like this self, you know, like the self-selecting group of people that constantly come in
Yeah.
You know, they have these different skill sets. They're good at finance. They're good at this. They're lifelong athletes, and now they want to hit the gym and do something there. So you see how it cross pollinates. Yeah. I think back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious if their same barriers or stumbling blocks are similar to that of the people that we work with. So like, what are some things that typically, if they're not in the shape they want to be in, what are the reasons that they usually cite as it, you know, if it wasn't for these XYZ things, I know I could be where I want. Does anything sure. like jump out at you that come to mind?
And I think the first thing like that comes to mind when I think about that is, you know, if you've ever read any of, you know, Naval Ravikant's work,
mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Naval? I'm sure you have.
I've probably follow them. I follow someone that either shares their stuff all the time or I see their stuff directly.
Okay. He's like a, this, you know, financier and this tech guru out of Silicon Valley, who made his, you know, fortunes through Uber, through different kinds of tech ventures. And now he's kind of like a philosoph that waxed philosophical on Twitter and some other social media things. And he says, like, you know, like a desire is like a contract, not to be happy until you get what you want. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know. A desire is a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. And I think the biggest thing with my clients is that they're so driven that oftentimes they have more than one desire, right? They're trying to chase so many things.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know, they want to be successful socially. They want to be successful financially, this and that. And I think the stumbling block comes from wanting so many things and not being able to think, you know, having the desire is great. Having too many.
Yeah.
It's going to be super frustrating, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that work on their bodies expecting to find some missing part of themselves that they used to be more familiar with or happiness on the whole along the way.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people get to whatever physical goal that they had, if they have a coach like you or me or someone on my team, or I'm sure other trainers that work alongside you, we get them to where they want to go. And they realize that whatever it was they were searching for is usually not found in the actual whatever outcome goal they thought was going to produce it. Like, it's not there. I've coached a lot of people to having abs. And if happiness and abs are not like that found at the same destination, two very different things. What's your experience?
I completely agree. And like I keep on every time they get closer and closer, you flash like these signs up. This isn't going to make you happy. You have to be careful. You have to know when to stop, like you're like an artist. When the work is done, you got to like push it aside. And I think, you know, two kinds of transformations have to happen, the physical and the mental, and maybe the third one, spiritual, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. And, you know, I think, you know, the destination, as cliche as that sounds, it's much more attractive than the final output.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen you like, I didn't realize like the transitions you've made in your life, but you were pushing some ridiculous weight, you know, from a long, long time. And
I dappled in lifting a bit. Yeah. Yeah.
more so. I mean, like it was like phenomenal. And I didn't know all the ins and outs of your career and your fitness career, whatnot. And now you're coaching at F45, not lifting as much, but I think you would probably be testament that, is that really what made you the happiest? Or was it helping people get to where they want to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, looking back at my own lifting, I think I was talking to Jeb about it the other day, but like Drew Madrid, are you friends with Drew on social?
I don't know if I am.
I need to have him on here. He lives local to me here in
cool.
Virginia Beach. We work together at Stronger You. He still works at Stronger You, so he does online nutrition. He's like top, you know, I can't pick a best friend. He's in my top two or three best friends.
Sure.
We lifted together. We did powerlifting together. Like we, you know, he's my training partner. You have that training partner and they're pretty much your best friend. Drew is that for me. And hopefully I'm that to him. When we were competing, you know, a powerlifting session was 2 to 3 hours long. We were doing such complex, like conjugate method stuff, like chains and bands and this and that. And it was like, you'd spend 2.5 hours at the gym and you know, we might've done 20 reps total and the rest was just recovering and just sitting around and thinking we had to be doing this. And yeah, we got like strong relative to our body weight, but like, I always felt broken, you know, everything hurt all the time. I have like chronic, really bad tendonitis in my elbow. And then I thought I had hip impingement.
Yeah.
So I'd be cycling back and forth between high bar squatting and low bar squatting, depending on how my hip was doing. I was much stronger. I had better leverages for low bar, but because of the torque on my elbow, as my low bar number would go up, my bench would suffer because my elbow would just be destroyed. So it turned into this like war of attrition against my body. And so when you asked me the other day, like, are your days of heavy lifting? That's what drew in. That was like the flavor of our training journey at the time. It was more so to be spending time with my good friend at the gym. It was cool to set goals and attack the goals. But sort of like ultra running, man, I never set out to run ultras. I started running ultra marathons because I was like dying in a hospital bed for a week with pneumonia. And I said, what is the best way to get my lungs in the best shape possible? I should probably just start running. And then it was like 5K, 10K, half, 50K, 8 hour, 12 hour. Like
when did that happen? When did you have pneumonia?
Winter of 2015. Gunnar was born in May of 2016. That's my son who's sitting, eating a Nutella wrap in the room behind me.
Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah. Emma was pregnant with Gunnar and I was, I do not wish pneumonia on absolutely anyone. I had it terribly that it became very clear to me why people still active. Like it's a thing that claims a lot of lives. Like on the disease list, like pneumonia is a death sentence for someone that can't beat it. It was horrible, man. And Emma was pregnant with Gunnar, and it was the week between Christmas and New Year. So I literally spent that week laid up in a hospital. I say it half jokingly, but truly, it's like any of our clients, like you get injured, you get sick. All you think about is all the days you could have worked out or done something to improve your state of health or fitness. And you skipped it.
Sure.
And so I just went the far other way with things. I said, never again will I take for granted my body of health, because if this is what the far opposite looks like we don't have, I didn't have a say. I got pneumonia out of absolute nowhere. So when people ask like, you know, why do you, or you're just a different mindset or different breed? It's like, no, I'm not, but eventually we won't be able to do what we can do today. So why not do it? You know,
completely agree. This is the first time me hearing this. So thank you for sharing it. I had no idea that I didn't know you back in 2015.
Yeah. I was trying to think earlier, like when did we actually meet? What was it, a group?
Yeah. It was just through like, you know, connections of like through Mike Dola, I think.
Yeah,
that's how I met you and Derek. So and some other people and Martin and all these other jokesters.
Your memes are excellent. Like when you give advice, you have the same luck I do. Like in any groups, like you post in the Peloton Nutrition group. I don't anymore. It is an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah,
you post things that people need to hear but don't want to hear, and then you get attacked. Like I just really appreciate and respect pretty much everything that you put out. So like when I say it's mutual, man, like for real, there's a lot of people that I think should the people that are famous, I don't understand. They're influencers. They're not actually teaching or instructing or coaching anything. They're just entertaining. They're dancing. And then the people that deserve to have a bigger platform because they could genuinely help more people is people that, you know, like you.
I appreciate it. I really do. And I, you know, I think there's a lot to be said though for people who have that like magnetic spark that can captivate an audience. You know, I really admire them. And like, how did you market that? That's so smart. Like, how did you know their pain points? So even if like these people are annoying in a lot of ways, they can be, I'm like, that's a valuable lesson. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
And I know it may suck for us, but I'm really happy with like being well known amongst 20 people that I train.
Yeah.
Do I want to train more people? Would I want to train a million? Of course, that'd be great, you know. But the here and the now, my career has afforded me to talk to somebody who I deeply respect, and it makes me like go, oh crap! Now I can thank Mike Dola for introducing me to you.
Yeah,
I can like we can have a piece of content we can share online.
Yeah,
we can have authentic experience, and I can tell people after this, I did a call with Jason Falcon, and here's his podcast link. Please share it with your friends, and it'd mean a lot to me, and it'd mean a lot to Jason. And people would be like, okay, they're not dancing and they're not making us laugh, but are they sincere? Yeah. Do they have a copious amount of great takeaways? No, I hope so. Yeah. And are they here for us or are they here for them? You know, we're not talking about money making. No. Like, how do we extract more money out of people? We're talking about how do we help people, right? So
yeah. And I think that's why I guess it's the nature of social media. You are attracted to that which resonates with you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think that's why I usually like your stuff. So it sounds like there's definitely a lot in common. We share the same experience with helping people, and they think they want a certain thing. In a weird way, I think it's the people that chase certain, like, well, I'll just keep at abs are not a bad thing for the right person, that it doesn't take a massive quality of life trade-off to achieve abs. Cool. Go get the abs. But what can happen is when people don't, they not only don't find happiness there, but then they're even more unhappy because now they realize I'm trying to fill some void in this thing that I thought was the cure was not. Then where do they go and where do we take them?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's an interesting conversation, right? I would assume that you're probably like me in that it only takes finding that out one time early in your career to where now I feel like I actively spend more time talking people out of, like, most of my posts lately have been like, it can't be only about the scale. It can't be only about abs. It can't. Yes. It's the end of March. Talking about your summer body is okay. But if you're working toward that with a singular focus, what are you gonna do in the fall? And you have no summer body to work on. Like, how do we make the goals more about your values and the way you want to stay living and those sorts of things? I'm just rambling now.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of it has to do with age. I believe Malcolm X said, you know, my life has been a chronology of change. So every like bracket of 20, 30, 40, 50, it's going to present something that you're interested in, right? That you really want to go for.
Yeah.
But I agree with the singularity of focusing on just abs. I think it's not my job to tell you what you want or what you don't want. Go for it. But I think when you let people discover for themselves what makes them happy, they're not going to admit it to you or to somebody else. But they're going to realize, like, that is fucking hard. I don't want to try that again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people who are introverted, people who are, you know, relentless can make it happen. They can get those apps, you know, but anyone that's remotely sociable and wants to experience, you know, walking through Paris or going to Virginia Beach, you know, down to the local bar, is going to have a really hard time getting that, you know? Yeah. So I always want to stack coaching in with, like, this is something outside of my scope. My sample size is really small. Mine's in the hundreds, and you with stronger you in your own business, probably in the thousands.
Yeah.
I think, you know, therapy is a great outlet for a lot of people. I sell packages of training. There's not enough hours to try to do everything, you know? Yep. And I think therapy is great. Talking, you know, just having people experience for themselves, realize they're missing out on a lot of happiness because they're trying to achieve something that's not going to necessarily make them happy. So,
There's a few. Do you follow Jeb Food on the Mind? Jeb's
of course. Jones. Yeah. He's a great guy. I've met him two or three times. Actually.
Okay, cool. Yeah. He's a few of us that departed Stronger You. Everyone is, you know, we're still right. Life is just on the job training and we're sort of learning to fly or whatever you would want to call it. Everyone's trying to find their own way, but Jeb has gone in a really cool direction where he's not a therapist and he's not really a nutrition coach, but he's sort of bridging a gap that I think desperately needs bridging. And he's got a really cool practice where he does more asking of questions, and he helps people by fostering a safe place for them to begin some of this self-discovery. He's taken a really cool approach. I don't even know how to describe it. I asked him to describe it. He couldn't even describe it, but damn, if it's not working for everyone that he works with. So it's really cool. And we started talking about exactly what you just said, therapy. And so if you look at self-care, there's, you know, what are you doing in the gym with Simon? What are you doing on your food with Jason and co? What are you it's self-care is really a multifaceted approach. There's not this one thing that if you do nothing else, you'll feel better for the rest of your life. It's literally like it's a big old toolbox, and you can't show up with just one tool or two. Like, you need all of them. And the tricky part is that what's happening and affecting and stressing you today versus what day is it? Today's Thursday versus Thursday of next week. Those are going to be different things. So it's kind of like this ongoing moving target, right? You can't just, it's not like taking a learn to speak this language course and boom, done, mark that done. It's like this ever evolving thing. And so I encourage people all the time, consider therapy. Like, where we are with things and where I get frustrated, I think, who was I just talking about this with? I don't know if it was with Jeb or Esther, and I only keep referencing them because they were the last two guests.
Yeah, it's good.
Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like when people talk about, like, we got to break the stigma, we got to start talking about mental health and the need to, you know, for strong people to get help. You don't have to be like, whatever. I think we're past that. I think it's openly discussed now. Like, it not only is it okay, all of us should be talking about these things with a professional. The bigger issue now is the access. Try to make an appointment with a therapist. Try to get that appointment covered. Like, okay, one, they don't have anything for 6 to 12 months. Two, it's going to be $300 every time I go. So people are in this horrible position of willingly sacrificing getting the help they need because either there's no openings or they can't afford it. And that wasn't a question. It was more of just a reflection or a statement on our current state of, it's frustrating.
Absolutely. And I think the United States is definitely a weird thing compared to other countries. And what I mean by that, I think, well, personally, I think it's the best country in the world. But I think at the same token, we have so many competing ideologies, ethnicities, etc., where if you go to Korea, guess what? Everyone's Korean. If you go to England, everyone's English. You go to Germany, everyone's German, Ireland, but Africa. But we're here, we're so unique, as we're so different. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's going to drive people crazy because they're like, well, this isn't what I learned in the homeland. This is different. How do I change, or how do I, you know, integrate? And how do I, you know, well, people don't understand like my sexuality, or how do I, and we're competing in so many different directions that, yeah, I think like sometimes you need therapy to untangle, you know, our sense of self and our sense of our bodies. And like, you know, this isn't how I grew up. I was grown up to this, but like, I see these standards of beauty in America that I can't possibly fulfill. Where somebody in, you know, Africa would be like, I don't care, because this is not who I am, you know?
And so, and even if we're going there, it's not funny. It's interesting, and it's worth noting that like beauty or like aesthetics or that stuff is very subject to change, because not long ago, like a few hundred years ago, it was in vogue to be extremely overweight because it showed that you had abundance, you had unlimited resources, you could afford to not, you could have labor to do all the things you don't want to do. You could have excessive amounts of food. Fast forward a couple hundred years, now it's all about the abs. So I don't think we should be letting society tell us what physical form is the best, or what, again, we go back to values. What do you value? You value walking your puppy that desperately wants to be exercised and be doing working command type stuff.
Yeah.
I have a tough time summarizing my values. I just really enjoy being in motion. I like doing active things.
Right.
It's for each person to define. Most people, I don't think it's going to be the sort of day-to-day life that is going to mean always having abs. They might be able to achieve them. I don't know why I just brought abs again, but to your point about doing things socially, like, unless you have a crazy active day job, like crazy active, and you are a quote unquote, have always been a hard gainer, I don't think abs are it for most people.
No, they want to be able to, like, I think they want to, well, depending upon, you know, who you float with, or what you, they want to be attracted to the same sex, or have other people from the opposite sex find them attractive, or whatever pronoun you want to use. They want value in their tribe. They want to be that one, you know, they want to be the person that can like put on, go to the store and have just something fit.
Yep.
Without a care.
That's it. They just want to feel a little bit better. Yeah. I mean, that's most people. I think. Can you hear Gunnar yelling through my microphone?
Yeah, buddy, no. That's fine.
Well, now you can hear me yelling to him. He asked if he could go next door and play soccer with our neighbor.
That's beautiful.
I love you, bud.
He's going to play. He loves soccer.
I can't believe you have kids. I mean, because I'm looking at you. You look like a kid.
Yeah, and I'm like bald, dude. I mean, I have like a bald spot. I'm old and washed up.
I had no idea. I'm like, so your daughter, she's like, looks tall and she looks like
teenager, you know, man. She turned 13 on insane. Monday. Like, what am that's I doing insane. With my life?
Yeah, it's crazy. You got like two kids. I didn't know that until like recently. That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. It means not having really any free time. But it's becoming really, really cool. So Jordan, our daughter that just turned 13, plays volleyball. She just made the field hockey team at school.
She's
going to be playing two sports for a little bit. Gunnar plays soccer. Her volleyball team I created because the league in which she plays in didn't have a team for her and like this other group of kids that wanted to play. So I stepped up. I created a team. I messaged all the parents. I said, hey, come join our team.
I love volleyball. It's great.
It's. You know, I wish I knew more about it because here I've stepped up. I've created the team. I'm managing. I'm coaching. I'm figuring it out. Luckily, it's just fundamentals at this age group, you know, 12, 13, 14 year olds. It's really the fundamentals more than anything. But the kids are having fun and it's keeping them out of trouble. So it's all good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 It's good. Most of my that's why I'm a 6 a.m. guy, man. I think any workout is a good workout. Anything people are doing to move their bodies is a good thing. But I will forever say that the early crowd is a special breed because they are putting that above many other things. Most of us, everyone in those early classes with me would rather be sleeping, believe me. But
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but if we sleep, we're probably not going to get that workout in, hence early.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a lot of other moms and dads and people with like busy lives, right?
What do you typically do? You group everyone together so you work a pretty standardized schedule, or are you forever coming and going?
I typically start at about 6 in the morning and I end at about 7:30 or 8. But like I have like I time it so every like 3 or 4 hours, that's when I go home and I walk my dog for an hour. Okay. Then I go back and train, and then I have a half hour for lunch.
Yeah.
So it's a busy day.
You should 1000% come to Raise the Bar next year.
What? Oh, that talk?
It's the seminar. What? Expo conference.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
It was really for personal trainers. Yeah, man. It's really for trainers. There were a lot of us there that do online nutrition, but it's a lot of the same philosophies and stuff, just in a different medium. But it would be very applicable to you. I mean, you would actually take away a lot from it.
I'm sure. Yeah, that sounds great. And just.
No. I'll be there. Mike will be there. Derek will be there. Jeb will be there. Dean. It would be a good just to connect with people, just to like get that sort of fire back, because it's easy to stay in our own little bubble and do our own little routine, but it's cool to go get that energy from other people every once in a while.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, I think personal trainers and coaches are like notorious for being like hermits and just working on their clients and themselves. So I think that'd be a brilliant idea. That'd be fun. Yeah,
it's fun. It was in when was I there? First weekend of March. It's going to be the exact same time frame next year. It was Orlando 2 years ago, Dallas this year. I guess we'll find out the location probably sometime in the fall or winter, but I'll keep you in the loop. But yeah, dude, come hang out for a few days.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to have like it'd be awesome to have like kind of like a mastermind with like 10 guys and girls, though, like in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Or like an Airbnb where we can just learn from each other in like an intimate setting.
Yeah,
that'd be fun too. I think.
Everyone that I've talked to recently has agreed that we should just do that. Set up a Facebook group, but like we can create. I don't know, man. I'm in like the season of just like things that I want don't exist, so I create them, and unfortunately, it means more work, like a volleyball team or a podcast or this or that. Like my company didn't exist, so I had to create it. Like that sort of thing. Like we should just make one and have like I don't know, bi-weekly calls, and just here's this group for like people like us that are kind of in the same stage, maybe different spots, doing slightly different things, but we could all learn from each other. It's just all shared experiences.
That'd be great. Yeah. My question to you is, working with your clients, like what percentage of them want that like ripped body or that, you know, that sleek, you know, six pack ab thing out of like, say like 100 clients you work with, give me a breakdown of like, what do they want?
I was thinking about this the other day in that COVID changed a lot of things for a lot of people, a lot of things for a lot of people. Pre-COVID, people were very, very, very fixated on their bodies and looking a certain way. Your average demographic and mine are extremely similar, like historically to me. I would say 35 to 60 year old ladies, especially. And it was very common for ladies to reference some other woman's body. I want Carrie Underwood's legs.
Carrie Underwood's legs.
Yeah. We all do. I mean, I'm a guy and my legs don't look as nice as hers.
Right.
And so you'd have like a 5 to 55 year old, 190 pound woman saying, I want Carrie's legs. And I would go through there's genetics, there's, you know, proportions, a muscle insertion, there's all these things. And so let's not worry about her legs. Let's worry about getting you into the best shape that you have the genetic potential possible. But the dialogue has sort of shifted. And really now on the other side of COVID and lockdown, I don't want to call those like vanity things, because how we look does play into how we feel and how we carry ourselves. But a lot of people, man, those lofty goals have sort of taken a back seat to, I just want to feel better. I want to look in the mirror and feel encouraged about where I'm going rather than defeated. I don't want to wake up anymore worried about how I'm going to lose this weight. I want to know, even if I'm not there, that, you know, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be confident in the trajectory that I'm on. People did a lot of soul searching, you know, like I did, you did, like we all did. When the world was turned off, all you had time to do was, I think. And so to answer your question directly, out of 100 people, the sleek shredded thing, not as many as it used to. I think every next year we're collectively getting a little bit more overweight too, to where that's getting a little bit more a stretch. Yeah. Like if, you know, starting from 20% body fat, abs and shredded is okay. You know, we'll get you there. Starting from 35, 40% body fat, most people want to be alive longer for their kids or grandkids. Things like that, which is awesome. You said earlier, and it was a fantastic point, we as coaches or trainers are not in the business of validating someone's goals for them. The best thing they can bring to the table is some sort of internal fire or motivation or drive. So however much we agree or disagree with their goals, even on like a fundamental level, if that is what's got their flame roaring inside them, let's roll with it. Along the way, we can have conversations about maybe fine tuning some of the goals, but for now, any goal is a good goal. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. As long as they're, you know, I have a policy that if I think they're going in a mentally destructive path, or it's like, you know, interfering with their livelihood, I will not help them. You know, I won't support that. Yeah. And I'll let them know that I'm not on the same page, but more often than not, they're not in a position to do that. They're, you know, they want to make a change, but, you know, I think like, you know, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, his right-hand man, talk about change. And these guys are two of the most brilliant American minds that the United States has ever seen. And they're like, we've tried. It's super hard to change people. We'd rather not even try that. It's not a good use of our time.
Yeah.
You know, so if they're saying it and they're that smart.
Yeah.
What choice do I have? I'm very limited, you know? So, you know, people have to feel like they're in control, and a lot of people don't feel like they're in control, but if they have a little bit of control and they know which way to point the ship, you know, or their boat, I'd be more than happy to help them paddle, you know, in that right direction. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We love routine. We as humans, not you and I as fitness professionals, we love routine. We love consistency. We love like if this, then that relationship.
Yeah.
We want to know that this leads to that. And so when we can like literally with hard work, put ourselves into that very pattern. If I show up and get my work done with Simon 3 days this week, 3 months from now, I will have accomplished this many strength sessions. I will be this much stronger. I know you're a fan of like pull-ups and deadlifts like I am, but like any way you can make a client feel stronger, there's no way that they're not going to pretty much across the board kick that much more ass, like in every aspect of life. Like when self-belief becomes a thing for people. Oh, that's where I was going earlier. Mm-hmm. Dude, welcome to my brain, man. I just ramble.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Hope, right? It is this feeling that when people taste it for the first time in a long time, it's like they'll kick doors down and go literally pursue anything. I think a lot of adults, especially like you talking about kids and the business and this and like, just feeling like you have a say in things. And I guess I'll use that interchangeably with hope. When you give people that, and I think that's why it inspires such fierce loyalty. Like I love everyone I work with. I'll have someone hit me up 3 years later and go, "Hey, it's Joe from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you remember me." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You don't know if I remember you? Like we spent 3 years working together, dude. Like, of course, like I remember your son's name." But when you can connect with people and like give them a feeling that they've not felt in a long time, and it's not like we're magic makers, like we're not. You are like I don't, it's just listening to people, giving them that sense of trust and like a safe place to just like conquer this one area of their life amongst all the others that they're meaning to address. It leads to some pretty cool things, and we can get someone feeling hope for the first time in a long time. That's why I used to have like on my stupid bio on like Instagram and Facebook, there's that quote, "The most powerful force in the world is the human soul on fire." Like anyone acting with conviction, you know, just like believing in a thing. Cause right now it's like, we're all just drifting, and maybe it's a cultural thing, but like no one really believes in anything. We're just being told.
It's the state of the United States. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even political. It's like, you know, either side of like the left and right, there's not really clear leadership. I don't think, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're kind of like in this weird like purgatory where we're looking for something, but we can't quite put our fingers on it. And there's no, everyone is so divisive, and it's hard for people to bring together, you know. And I think being self-aware and finding fitness and, you know, self-improvement can be a great way to lead ourselves right in certain ways and give us some hope, like you mentioned. So
when you, we'll go there. We'll talk about abs one more time.
Okay.
Say you booked a vacation for this summer, someplace warm that had you either at a pool or a beach for the large percentage of your time.
Nice.
And sounds good, doesn't it? As we both sit here in long sleeves. As a fitness professional and someone that helps people improve their body composition, when you see someone with abs, what is going on in your brain?
This person's probably in their 20s.
no responsibilities.
This person doesn't have any kids. Different layers. I'm like, this person, I don't know. I've seen so many bodies.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like desensitized to it. You know, I'm like, this person looks great. This person's, you know, obviously focused. This person's put a lot of effort into themselves. This person is probably looking in the mirror more often than I think that they probably should. I don't know. It's just,
there wasn't a right or wrong answer, but pretty much what I see. Like I think most people with abs, I usually will view in a positive light, not because of the aesthetic, because I know the discipline. And like, to me, it says more about their mental game, which I hope is a healthy mental game, but I knew what it took for that person to get there. And I realized that how I'm seeing them today on vacation, the high likelihood they don't live in that state. Like they probably dieted and trained their ass off for this week on the beach. But I literally just view it from like a discipline. This person probably went without a lot of the things they wanted for some amount of time. They pursued that with a singular focus. I wasn't really going anywhere with that either, other than
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. It like shows the sacrifice. Like to me, abs and sacrifice are almost the same word. It's sort of the same.
They have a strong desire. Or they also may have very few desires. They're singular in their pursuit.
Yeah.
But like, you know, blessed is the person that looks like that, but can also have that charisma to bring people in. Right.
Yeah.
That is not like exclusive other people that can make fun of themselves.
Yeah.
They can be self-deprecating, that can have a burger and laugh, you know?
Yeah.
That can be like, "Hey, I got these abs, but let me tell you, it's super hard. And sometimes I really wish I had that burger, but I'm so vain." Now they're being honest. that I just made it happen. And that takes a special kind of person, you know, that can do that. It's not easy.
Did you watch Limitless on, I think Netflix has it. It was a Nat Geo documentary with Chris Hemsworth.
I saw the only part I saw was when he was doing that virtual reality thing on the stair thing.
Yeah.
And then I stopped watching it.
I would say it's well worth your time. Like, watch it. I think there's six episodes. And he's working with Peter Attia, like the longevity doc. He coaches him, guides him through all these various disciplines of longevity. But he talks about what it means to embody Thor and like the physical task that, becoming Thor. We watch movies and we think, okay, this actor, like Chris Hemsworth, right? Like, okay, it's time to make Thor. So for the next 3 months, we're going to be filming Thor. What I found was, or what I learned watching that is, those movies are shot over like, all right, we're going to spend 4 days here, and then a week is going to go by, and we're going to go to this other spot for a week, and then 2 months is going to go by, and then we're going to film these scenes at this other side of the world, and then another month. And so it's like collectively assembled over a very long time domain. And certain scenes, they try to grab all at the same time, even if it's different costumes and because of the actor's body composition.
Yeah.
And so he's doing this muscular endurance exercise with Dr. Attia, and he's having to do rope climbs. And he is currently in Thor shape because he just wrapped filming that whatever scene it was where Thor looks the most absolutely huge and shredded.
Yeah.
And he talks about what a massive burden it is to get that into muscle. That shape. The training, the calorie intake that is needed, like all of it. And it's coming at his demise. He can't do these rope climbs because as lean as he is, he's so heavy that his forearms are just pumping out like four pulls in. And he's like, I'm blowing my own mind because I know what I'm capable of, but because of this excess weight I'm carrying, like I can't even get in my own way. And so here, it's interesting to me because I look at him in one of those movies and I'm like, dream body. I would love to look like that.
Yeah.
He's literally the only dude on the planet that looks like that. And he's telling you how much it sucks to look like that in terms of just like day-to-day living. Like he can't even do the things he wants to do because he's in that shape.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need people like that to give us some kind of, you know, aspiration or to inspire us. And because it's a lot of fun to see that, you know, people at their physical best, but you know, who would I rather hang out with? People I know and people I can connect with, you know, and you can tell by his personality, he's probably like that too.
Yeah.
He just wants to be like, you know, I found out that he had that, you know, that gene.
Yeah.
That can for potential of Alzheimer's. Right.
Yeah. That's the last episode of the series. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I heard about. And I'm like, his like only aspiration now is to be able to spend time with his kids, you know, and his family and his wife. So it kind of brings everything full circle and focus, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
the whole fragility of life. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, the reason I brought it up is through watching that, you get a very good glimpse into his life and his true personality because he's got his friends along on some of the challenges. And if you want to talk about like a down-to-earth dude that just so happens to be this fantastic actor in peak, you know, human physical form, but he talks very candidly about the cost of getting into that shape and all the life he has to miss out on to stay in that shape and all the beers he can't drink with his buddies and the burgers he can't eat with his buddies. And he's like, this is my job. Like there's no joy that I'm taking in the physical toll and the expense at which all this comes, you know, he's making many millions of dollars. So I'd probably do the same thing. I'd go without for a little bit, but he's very like, you know, he's not glamorizing it and saying, oh, this comes easy. And all you got to do is train for 4 hours a day like I do and eat 6,000 calories a day. He's like, this sucks. Would not recommend.
That's how powerful, you know, social groups are, right? They're more powerful than me and you as a trainer and coach. If it's you versus the world is always going to win. So what he's doing is pretty incredible. He's denying his base instinct, right? To go with like the crowd.
Yeah.
To hang out with people and isolating himself in a certain circumstance and breaking these ties. So no, do not recommend, you know, it's not an easy task. And but it's also the reason why if you have people that need to lose weight or need to improve their health, you want to put them in circle certain social situations where they can thrive, right?
Yep.
Where there'll be people around them that can support you and to get you to where you want to be. So yeah, that's pretty incredible.
So that's an interesting. Do you do any small group, or everything you do is one-on-one?
Everything I do, I personally, like, if I have to, I'll do group. I kind of loathe it. My clients don't like it either. They're like, I'll pay more. I do not want to be stuck with somebody else.
Yeah.
So they're like, I want to try something new. I want to do group training. I'm like, go ahead. And they come back and they're like, that was terrible. I just wanted this work one-on-one. So yeah. It's only one-on-one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You do group though, right?
So like Falcon Nutrition. Yeah. 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 I think there's like some slight differences there, but it was interesting you brought it up, because we're Falcon Nutrition, like within our nutrition coaching, we're about to move to some group coaching dynamics too, to where people, it's not one-on-one or nothing, but for the social connection, especially where you're working with like-minded people, you're not, it's a different dynamic than one-on-one. You're not talking to your coach every week and adjusting numbers and that sort of thing. But
Online.
Yeah.
Oh, online. Gosh, yeah.
And so it's like anything else with a small business. We're going to implement it, roll it out, let people try it, see how it goes and fine tune from there. But I think a lower price point, getting a little bit less of the one-on-one time, but really relying on like the tribe and the social connection and doing it together with groups, and maybe people sign up with a friend, they're in the same group, they have the same coach, they're on group calls together. Curious to see how it goes. I think it might be a really cool, like, in between for people that don't want the full on one-to-one deal, but they also know they need something. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
That's awesome.
I think the in-person side, like you, the fact that they were with you one-on-one, I don't see them going to small group and loving it. The attention, that the constant attention they're getting, because you're there solely for them and they're solely for you, I don't think that type of person could leave it, go to a group setting and be like, yeah, this is almost as good. It's worth saving a little bit of money. Like, I don't see that being a thing.
No. Yeah. I typically work with clients that where the cost is, it's still, I mean, there are not people that are, you know, are not frivolous, but it's a triviality more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of the cost. So they're like, what is the best? I'm like, probably one-on-one intention, that I want the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but like, I think for the vast majority of people, I think, you know, the group online where they have like other connections and it provides great value.
Yeah.
Lower barrier to entry. I think that's exciting. I think that's something people would want to do.
Yeah. And it's sort of us just trying to like keep up with the ever-changing times, like Facebook groups. I'm like, our Facebook group, when I started this place at the end of 2019, was one thing. Not for lack of trying. We're posting even more now, but like, groups are just dead. Facebook groups, like, they are not what they were a few years ago. Oh man.
I didn't know that.
It's like painful. I mean, we're looking at moving our online community to like this website called Circle. That's what they do. It's this platform that members log in to see all your stuff, because you're at the mercy of the algorithm with social.
Yeah.
And Facebook groups are just, they're not what they were. And so I feel bad, because I know the social aspect of the community is huge. And so we're hoping that the group coaching vibe, almost like being in this cohort together, is going to help fill that in, because we do have an awesome group. We have a lot of members in there. We share things constantly. It's all the coaches posting stuff. It's this really cool community, but it's only really cool if people see it. If the social media algorithm gods don't show it to anyone, then it's all kind of just wasted effort.
What is your biggest challenge then as like a coach and as like an entrepreneur / small business owner then?
Ooh. That's a tough one. If you asked me like three different days, I'd probably give you three different answers. Probably the guilt of not always talking to everyone as often as I want to. Like, I have an amazing team, and in my mind, we talk often. In reality, we don't talk often. There's a software called Slack that we communicate on.
Sure.
You know, we're either messaging on there, or we're texting, or we're emailing, but I never meant to have a team. I left to be a solo company, and then we grew. And I've been super busy, busier than was fair for me or my family or my clients before.
Yeah.
That was the last place. I didn't want to be that place 2.0. I started hiring when gyms closed, lockdown happened, and the online space got very busy in 2020. Within that time, there were some people that were solo practices that decided the posting and the marketing and the billing, and it's just too much. I'd rather just, you know, be at a place that has a community, has systems, and has. And so a lot of like solo coaches came and joined my team, and it's basically they're with me, but they sort of bring in their own clients, and they just want a place to almost like a real estate brokerage, like the broker, and I hang my license here, but I go. So to answer your question, I care so deeply about everyone, and not being able to give everyone the one-on-one time that's on my team is very similar to being a dad of two young kids. And as a dad, I own a small, like, I feel like it's just like parenting. Like, I wish I could be doing so much more often with every single one of them. And there's an immense guilt that I feel when I feel like I'm not doing that. And I don't want anyone to feel like I don't think about them or appreciate them or value them. There's just finite. everyone's on a different schedule, different time zones. A lot of people have real jobs and they do this because it's like the side passion for them.
Sure.
Lining up schedules is tough. But again, ask me tomorrow and I'll probably answer something totally different. Really just keeping up. Interesting in the online space is everyone's becoming a coach. Everyone is becoming a coach. And so it's created a lot more. I won't even call it competition because I know a lot of really crappy coaches. I know how people do things. Sure. I know how much they care. I know what they think online coaching is and what it actually is. So the more, not to sound mean, but the more crappy coaches that get into it, the better the good coaches will look. So that problem will take care of itself. But just trying to distinguish ourselves, you know, when a prospective client, if I'm on a discovery call with them and they say, well, how are you any different than fill in the blank with some other, you know, any diet? I'm like, well, we're not a diet. We're like, we're not going to sell you supplements and tell you to eat 1,000 calories. Like, we're going to encourage you to walk more. We're going to encourage you to become a different version of yourself. Because if all you're doing is dieting, you're going to diet until the end of your life. Like, you have to change your lifestyle. Explaining that to someone that's never experienced it can be tough. So some days that would be my answer. Like, just, I can tell you what we are. It's difficult for me to tell you what we're not, because I don't know that other place that you're asking me to compare ourselves to.
Right. Branding, you mean, is very difficult.
It is.
Yeah.
And I've been a lot more active on Instagram lately. One of my big takeaways from that seminar I was in, there were just some absolutely amazing, amazing speakers. Just because I have a team, I can't stop being like me on social media. And for a long time, our business page was just like business type stuff, like recipes and member of the month. And like, so I've taken it back over and really started posting my own stuff and doing reels and doing videos. And so that's been new. Like, I'm like everyone else, man. The stuff that makes pretty much anyone uncomfortable makes me uncomfortable too. I don't like a lot of certain things. And so I'm like forcing myself to do them so that I will dislike them less. It's just getting reps. You get reps at something, you build confidence, then you're not afraid of it anymore.
Yeah. People need a lot of reps usually, at least in the fitness industry, I think, to put themselves out there.
Yeah. I would assume any career track has, you know, imposter syndrome is a thing, but I think fitness especially, where it's like we as professionals claim we're the best of what the human form is possible, I think we feel it that much deeper, right? What are your thoughts?
Of course. You mean in terms of what pressure or what we feel?
Well, like probably both. Like to say like, come with me and I'll get you in tremendous shape. It's just like, I think it's almost disarming to people when they realize like Jason doesn't walk around 6% body fat. Like, I'm in very good shape and I could go run up and over a mountain and lift a lot of weight, but like, I don't make it a huge focus to walk around 8% body fat with abs shredded all the time. Like, I've been there, done that. It sucked. For some people, that's how they want to live. It's not for me, but like, I can teach you a really life-friendly way to stay in much better shape than most people. And that's kind of it.
That's a good point. I think a lot of the reason why my clients began coaching with me is, number one, is I think social proof. I made sure to put my clients in front so I could show people what they could do, you know, and the kind of shape they were in, balancing their careers and, you know, improving their bodies and their mental health. But also, like, if you look at me, I'm kind of short. I'm, you know, 5'8". I'm strong. I'm pretty strong, you know, but like, I look, if with me with my hoodie on, you wouldn't be able to discern me from anybody else.
Yeah.
But they see that, you know, I'm 48. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, they're like, oh, wow, you look pretty young for your age. You look good. And yeah. You know, how did you do that? And, you know, how did your client do that? And I'm like, well, let me show you, you know? So I think social proof goes a long way. And the fact that maybe that I was in corporate, that I do have some social conditioning, you know, to be able to communicate, and I can talk about a lot of different things. And I'm talking a lot now in this podcast, but in person, I let the people talk about 80 to 95% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I talk very little, but I'm constantly badgering people with questions because I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people like that and they'll respond to that. You know, I think anybody would respond to that when your entire life is in the servitude of your kids and your career. But for 2 hours a week, though, you're the star and you're the person that's in the front row, right? So I try to make sure that I kind of have like a selfless attitude when it comes to business, and to show that I don't need to walk around with my shirt off to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And that I'll always put you in front. So,
yeah. I shared the quote a few days ago. I really should figure out who, I think it's Zig Ziglar. People will forget what you said or what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And sure. Again, is it Shel Silverstein or is it Zig Ziglar? I'm not sure. I really have to figure that out.
Car salesman or author, one of those.
But it's the truth, man. Like you give people an outlet, you ask them and you genuinely care. Like, don't worry about me. Simon's good. Like I'm chilling. I'm in the gym like I always am. Like, what's new with you? Let's talk about you. People love to talk about themselves. I mean, Dale Carnegie, like How to Win Friends and Influence People. Use their first name, literally ask them, and literally care. Like, you will probably rise to the top of your field because people feel like you care about them.
Absolutely. I know my clients' birthdays. I know their names. I know where they work. I know their zodiac sign. I know their favorite food. I know that they don't like their smoothies icy. I know they don't like chocolate. I know they like white chocolate, though. Mm-hmm. Go deep, 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 you know? And I know where they're vacationing. And then I think people respond to that and respect that because we're so automated now.
Yeah.
And it shows you that, like, hey, he's actually listening to what I have to say. So, yeah.
There was a... Oh, what was it? Lee Boyce. Lee Boyce did a presentation on the soft skills of coaching. And I wish I could have recorded it for every one of my coaches and sent it to them because it was so good. If anything, it was a great presentation. I think there were a lot of people in that room that benefited from it. But for me and for my team, I think it was a lot of more like moments of affirmation of like, okay, cool. So keep doing what we're doing, because everyone that works with me is pretty much here because of who they are and their character.
Sure.
And their ability to like care about people. But it was that's really great. Cool to hear like a, you know, top trainer in the field, a guy that's got a huge platform. He writes for a lot of publications. He had an hour and a half time to talk to a room full of 300 people. And he talked about the soft skill, like how to actually care, or at least pretend like you care if you don't. But I think everyone that does this does truly care. And it was a really, really cool presentation. I'm telling you, you got to come next year, man.
That'd be fun. I want to know what he said, because I can always refresh my skills. That sounds great.
I think they're going to have the, I mean, I took notes. I literally took notes, man. That's the thing. You just got to stay learning. Like I take notes, like it's my first day of class, because it's all changing, you know? And what's just because you've always done something one way doesn't mean you should stay doing it that way. Like figure out what is actually the best way and move toward that. And then just remember the best, just kind of like health, fitness, or the best way may be subject to change. That's the thing about science, right?
Right. And yeah, absolutely. And technology, right?
So we talked all about AI and tech, and people are saying, well, is AI going to mean the end of? No, AI and bad coaches and bad trainers are all the same thing. They're going to make the good ones that much more gooder, right? That's going to be the thing that separates your ability to communicate and form meaningful relationships with those that you're helping.
Yeah. And I imagine it'd probably be more served as a companion, AI, opposed to a competitor. You know, it can make better good trainers even better.
That's a great way to look at it. We'll start winding this down. I think I don't know how long I told you, but I think it was definitely much shorter than we've gone. I loved your post yesterday. I was actually thinking, sometimes I'll be thinking of something and I'll see a buddy post it. And then I'm like, well, now I can't post that. And I pulled it up earlier. Lose weight by adding more, not taking away. Just for a few minutes, can you talk on what that means to you? I don't want to just spoil your entire post.
No, thank you. I think, you know, when we talk, I put that in terms of a framework of the words pro-peace and anti-war. They both mean kind of the same thing, like don't kill each other. But what sounds more positive? I probably would say pro-peace, right? Yep. So when we approach things in our life, instead of thinking about all the restriction that we're going to go through, let's think about, you know, adding to our life, adding years to our life, adding more food. And how does that mean? Like, you don't have to like automatically cut out everything you want. You can slowly progress that way by adding more fresh fruit to your meal, by adding more vegetables to your burger and fries. It's a start, right? Yeah. And like, you know, you can say like, hey, what I'm doing, hey, I'm not missing out on anything, but I'm also doing some more good to my body as well.
Yeah.
And then that mindset comes away where you're like, you don't have to feel like you're suffering or people aren't taking things away from you, but you're adding to things. You're adding more abundance. You're adding more healthier things to your life. So I think it's just a way of look at things and put them into the right perspective. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, super rigid and super, you know, anti junk food or anti this or that, but more of a soft approach.
Yeah.
Like, to how do we make lasting changes? So,
yeah, I mean, one example, I've worked with fasting is a funny thing. The people that I've worked with, like when I've worked with clients that were observing Ramadan and they were fasting for those purposes, they never complained about the things that they weren't having because they were so convicted in why they were fasting. And they weren't looking at all the things they couldn't have. They were looking at everything they were fasting for and what it was building within them and making them think on and appreciate and recognize and deepen their faith. And then you have people that fast for no reason at all because they think it's some trick. And all they can think about is how hungry they are and how they're starving and how badly they want to just eat all of the things. So I think fasting is a really good example. Like, don't look at the thing you're not having. Look at the reason you're doing the thing. And this isn't me saying everyone needs to fast. But it's a cool example into that perspective and just the mindset reframe of I can willingly do this. Not to get too deep, but I go there with the right client at the right time. Like, how blessed are we to, by design, restrict our food to change our bodies?
Yeah, it's fucking insane, isn't
how
it?
Lucky, like, how lucky are we? How lucky are we? Like, how much percentage-wise, I should know the stat, I don't. But I would say more than half the world probably does not have the luxury of restricting their food to lose weight.
No, yeah, it's pretty insane. I come from a family, you know, of immigrants. My mom and dad were immigrants. I was born in Chicago, but like to think that we can play these games with ourselves, right? Like, people are, we're a very high anxiety culture now. Everyone seems, which is okay, but these are legit concerns. People have these maladies, like anxiety, this or like, but even if I go dead broke, I'll still have a place to sleep at night and they'll still feed me somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a shelter. Maybe it'll be a church, but I'm still being fed. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're like the only country. That's why we're so awesome here, is that we can do that.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, no,
aren't we awesome? Aren't we so awesome? Yeah. We'd love to tell everyone how awesome we are. While at the same time, we're, you know, crippled with depression and anxiety. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we're in a wonderful situation and we're very blessed that we can actually do this, where other people are looking to like, how do I, you know, take this bark off the tree and somehow make it edible, you know?
What can I do so that my children are able to eat 12 hours from now? Because I know we're not eating until then and I don't have any resources at all. And I will willingly not eat for the next 3 days if it means my kids can have. So I don't go there often, but sometimes just reminding people to like stop, take a deep breath, zoom out and really think about like, this is a choice you're making. Like you're willingly lowering, you're either eating a little bit less or moving a little bit, but like you're doing this for your health, but don't put so much pressure on yourself. Like, you're going to be okay. And this is a choice that we're making. Most most of the world does not have a choice. It's I don't know why I went there.
No. It's just, you know, I think of like, you know, gratitude, right? Yeah. The fact that I, you know, it's a Thursday afternoon and I can talk to somebody across the United States. It's the fact that you're going to eat dinner after this. I'm going to eat dinner after this. I'm not going to have to worry.
Yeah.
It's that I can go dead broke and still have something to eat at the end of the day. Yeah. Where other people have to, like, you know, kill vermin on the street just to feed their families.
Yeah.
You know, I think it puts a lot of things in perspective, and I'm grateful that I have this opportunity, and I'm sure you're grateful as well. And I think that kind of gratitude, that psychological thing, is a super important tool to teach people.
Yeah.
And to coach people on. So
I agree 1,000%, man. I think if we spent more time with people that we cared about or valued, and if we willingly just chose a few more hard things to do to prove to ourselves that we still got it. And I say that as someone that suffered from pretty crippling anxiety and depression at points in my life. And those times, coincidentally, I was very isolated and I was never doing any hard things. So when I make those stupid posts, when I make those stupid posts, it's not because I've got this whole thing figured out and I've never, like, it's what worked for me. Most of the time I post anything, it's the advice I wish someone would have shared when I needed it the most. And so now I'm just trying to, you know, to share it in a similar manner. Let's see. What did I used to ask people? Anyone listening that wants to start to either feel better, move better, look better, just live a little bit healthier. Three tips that you think everyone could benefit from. What do you think, Simon?
However
big or small.
Find 8 friends that you have and ask them, what's one thing you love about me that doesn't involve my body? Or if it doesn't involve my body, find that out. On the same token, number 2 is go volunteer at a local shelter or something and share your resources or knowledge with somebody that you otherwise would not share. You will find perspective and you will find strength that you didn't know you had. Because people need a litmus test for suffering. And oftentimes seeing more suffering will understand, like, the ideas that you had, though are worth something, sometimes often lack perspective.
Yeah.
And number 3 is, you know, just connect with people, tell them how much you love them and value them.
Yep.
And number 4, have a conversation where you only talk 5% to 10% of the time and make it about the other person. You will learn selflessness and you will learn to listen fully.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
You must come back for more of these. This was a good, just overall, we can be a little bit more targeted. Dude, I enjoyed that immensely, man. If anyone's still listening an hour and 20 minutes into this, that was really Simon and I, like, having a conversation as two friends for the first time. So that was everything I thought you'd be and so much more, dude.
I congratulate you on having, like, your own employees now.
hey.
that burden of responsibility. And
I'm lucky to have them. I'm lucky to have them, man. They could be doing it anywhere. They could be doing it for themselves. I don't know what people see in me to want to be here, but I truly, like, I don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Well, if you find that out, I'm sure, like, you know, you wouldn't be surprised at all the good that you're doing. So I'm glad there are people like you in the industry, and I'm glad that I can find another mentor to look at and, you know, take away the most valuable things you have to offer you and your clients. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Yeah, man. It was a pleasure having you on. What is your husky shepherd's name? What is your pup's name?
Oh, her name is Lily.
Lily, if you and Lily are searching for a weekend getaway or however long, come hang out in Virginia Beach. We have a house full of dogs. Lily would make good company. We can go walk the boardwalk. We've got a pool. It'd be cool to hang, man.
That'd be great. Come to Chicago. You're more than welcome to.
Deal. Emma and I would love. I'm totally inviting my wife along, and we're just going to pile in on you. But we could train. Please. We could walk. You could show us some of the cool Chicago sites. We've actually talked about Chicago, man. So I might take you up on that before
long. Please do. Yeah, it's amazing. So you think, great food city. We love it.
Right on. Simon, where do people, I know that anyone that listened to anything that you shared with us will want to follow you and learn more from you. Where do people find you?
Instagram is fine. At Simon, Says Lift, L-I-F-T. Simon Says Lift.
I love that so much. Stronger people in far more than one sense. Anyone that works with you or knows you.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome, dude. All right. I'm going to hit stop recording and it's going to awkwardly cut out, but stay on. All right. Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you very much.
All right. So that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to Fed Up from Falcon Nutrition. We hope you learned a thing or two, or at worst, had a little fun with us. Please make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes, and make sure you hit us up if we can answer any questions for you. Talk to you next time.